president. I get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday. They go back to work on Monday. If I was president, if I was president, if I was president, yeah.
100
instead of spending on the war, I can use that money. Because I know some so poor. When it rains, that's when they shower, scream and fight the power. That's when the vulture devours. If I was president, I get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday. They go back to work on Monday.
100
New.
Sean.
I know some soldiers that sleep but they can't dream. Wake up with screams, sounds of M16. So take this medal of honor for your bravery. I wish you the best, kid. You and your family.
Hey, what's going on? It's Kenny Hodge, branch president, Columbus, Ohio, with a quick postal podcast for you this morning. As promised, I said we're going to look at the F1. Now, let me start off by saying what I'm about to share with you is just a culmination of my years in the post office. Okay? Again, I'm pretty certain that you're going to find this information very helpful and very beneficial to you. Again, but this is just my observation of what I see as an individual. Okay, so let's take that in mind. Let's talk F1. Well, the first thing about the F1 scheduler is you got to understand that the post office takes a one-week snapshot or one-week set of data and attempts to create a managerial staffing matrix for the employees. And what I mean by that is they take 1 week's worth of data and build complements. How many mail handlers are going to be over in point A? How many are going to be in point B? Do we need to hire? Do we need to fire? And I'm simply going to say, anytime your basis for gathering information to staff an organization like the Postal Service is based off of a one-week snapshot, then that needs to be questioned seriously and very adamantly, because it's just not going to happen. Quick example. Let's just say, for example, in 1 week, our facility, and again, example, our facility gets 50,000 pieces of mail. We know that's about 1 hour's worth of work, but for this example, we're going to say for the week, 50,000 pieces of mail. Well, the week that the Postal Service used for their F1 analysis, let's say that week we only got 25,000 pieces of mail. What do you think the Postal Service is going to do? And if we average 50,000 throughout the year, then it's kind of crazy that they would adjust an office as far as complement and staff based on low projected numbers. Now, I got to tell you, but, you know, that's what businesses do. They cut corners, try to eliminate human resources in order to think they're making a profit. But what can we do? Now, let me tell you, some of the things we're going to do, and I'm going to touch lightly on it this morning, because then I want to address Dayton Post Office for a few minutes. I want to touch lightly on that F1 and what some of the things we can do. One, we can learn our jobs. And when I say learn our jobs, I mean know our jobs. Some of us have been in the post office long enough that what we do is not actually what our bid requires us to do. Now, I don't want to get real philosophical with you, but you got to understand something. Bids were created, jobs were established based on A, B, C. When you become comfortable with A, B, C, D, E, then, excuse me, you now operate outside of your bid, if I'm making any sense. And I want to give you, I'll give an example in a second. But what I mean by understand and know your job, how many of you have ever actually read your bid? See now, and please, just stay with me while I go through this. How many of you have ever read your actual bid? Most of us bid on the job. We go over there. Somebody tells us what we're supposed to do over there, and that's what we do. And I got to tell you, if you pull your actual bid and read it, I guarantee you 80% of you are going to be surprised. 80% of you are going to be surprised. Pull your job. Read your bids. Because you got to understand, at a national level, these bids are negotiated, contracted. When we don't follow them, I mean, we create a bad situation for ourselves. And another thing with the F1 is you have to understand that as a post office, which is heavily immersed in Lean Six Sigma training, want to combine jobs that are not as per our bid, we have to be aware of that. Because again, and I say this, trust me, real personally, you have to follow the instructions supervisors give you. But if they give you instructions that take you out of your work area, you have a right to make a move on your time clock so that you can document that time spent out of your work area. Now, I'm going to talk about that real quick, not from a grievance perspective, but from a timekeeping perspective. And what I mean is, if you are working in an area, let's just say my bid is on the apps. So let's just use my bid for a second. If you work on the apps on tour two, but every day you spend, hypothetically, 4 hours unloading mail on the north dock. Now, all that time is being recorded in the apps work hours. So what happens is in that operation. So what happens is, you spend time in the apps and do work on the dock, but when the post office pulls that data and looks at that data, there are no hours for the dock. All that time went to the apps. So the post office now says, wait a minute, on this day, we have no hours on our north dock for mail handlers, but yet we unloaded 5 trucks and brought all that mail from the north dock and spread it about to where it had to go. What do you think the post office is going to say? They're going to say, we don't need mail handlers on the north dock. And you and I both know that's not the case. So all I'm saying is, as we grab a copy of our bids and actually read your job, don't let somebody tell you. I mean, humor yourself for a second. Read your job. And I guarantee you, again, 80% of you are going to be like, wow, I didn't know that. Or that's mine also. Or I don't have to do that. So if you read your job, then you understand your job. So this way, when management sends you to other areas to work, and again, I know it's tedious, I know it's repetition, it's going to be time consuming, and it's going to be a little nerve wracking, but we have to make an obligation and a dedication to make sure we swipe. So we send those work hours to the operation that you're working in. That is actually going to allow the post office to take a much better look. They're going to have a better common operating picture that now they can make better adjustments if any adjustments are needed. So you see, by us doing what we are supposed to do is going to help the post office make better projections on the number of staff, whether they're going to increase, decrease, or how they're going to do that. So we can help ourselves. Tomorrow morning, we'll talk a little more on it because I don't want to hold the podcast over 15 minutes. But I think I have to address a few minutes to the folks in the Dayton area. Hey, mail handlers, listen. I am going to campaign right up until the votes are counted for the position of local president. I am certain I am a better candidate. I am a better person for the job. Now, if you don't agree, continue spitting that garbage that you've been spitting on Facebook, You guys are making it real personal, and we're talking about leading the local, and I'm being called a narcissist, an opportunist. Well, I want you to know, say whatever it is that you want to say about me, because it doesn't stop my go at all. I'm going to do a better job for 304, and if you would maybe, just maybe, listen to a little bit of what I'm saying again and then make a true evaluation, you might find that I am the better person for the job. But you've already made your mind up that you're going to not like me regardless of what I do, and I have to live with that. You're bringing up these allegations of sexual misconduct. All I'm going to say is, be my guest. Be my guest. I can promise you, like I'll promise the rest of Local 304, who I'm sure, if need be, had access to my records. No, I've never been reduced for any sexual allegation whatsoever. Okay, and that's me saying that, and I'll say it again. I've never been reduced for any sexual allegations whatsoever. Now, being a manager for so many years, we've had instances there. Now, as a 204B, there was an instance or situation, but most people have that wrong as well. So what you keep saying is just false, and all I'm going to say to you is, why would you spread that false rumor and working in the Dayton facility for as long as you've been there if you wanted to tell some true stories about sexual misconduct? I'm sure you could. To the young lady who was so concerned about what am I going to do, one of the questions about arbitrating and steward training, I have to ask you, are you aware of when the last time 304 actually had arbitration? Not pre-arb, arbitration. And all I want to say to you is, if you look into that and find out that we don't arbitrate that often, then would you be okay if we maintain that same cycle? But I'm going to tell you, we're going to, I'm pretty certain, we're going to be arbitrating a lot more with me as your local president. And yes, I understand that costs money, but we'll make that happen. When you talk about steward training, I want to let you know that I am a certified trainer, and I'm going to say to you that the first class of stewards under my administration, it will be evident that there's a whole different training environment and training intensity going on with the stewards in 304. So I just want you to know that I'm more than qualified for this position. And once we get past the election and I'm sworn in, maybe we can start to work together. But I want you to know, you keep saying all these vicious lies. If that's what you're going to do, you know, be my guest. I'm not going to be offended by that. And I'm really going to try. Here's the key word. I'm really going to try not to go tit for tat with you on that. So, again, 180 degrees. That's the new direction we're going to travel in. And everyone is welcome to be a part of it.